Epstein built ties to U.S. customs officers, prompting a criminal investigation. One of Jeffrey Epstein's greatest skills was building, and exploiting, connections with those who had the power to help or hinder him. In the U.S. Virgin Islands, that included the Federal Customs and Border Protection officers, the ones who inspected the people and goods going to, and from, his private hideaway. Mr. Epstein dispensed food, helicopter rides, financial advice, and even musical gifts, to a handful of CBP officers stationed on St. Thomas, the American port of entry near Little St. James, the island he owned. At the same time, Epstein enjoyed concierge services from some of the customs officers in St. Thomas, according to emails and other records recently released by the Justice Department. They whisked him through inspections. They helped him troubleshoot when he encountered problems at airports on the mainland. Starting in 2019, those chummy relationships became the subject of a criminal investigation. Agents from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, as well as federal prosecutors, spent more than a year looking into whether CBP officers in St. Thomas allowed Epstein and his guests to avoid scrutiny as they entered the country. The outcome of that investigation, which focused on at least four CBP officers, including a supervisor, is unclear. There is no record of the officers being charged with crimes in connection to Epstein. The emails and other records show how Epstein, a master networker who traded favors with presidents, billionaires, super lawyers, and Hollywood celebrities, also set out to woo usually anonymous customs officials in the Caribbean. The charm offensive took place from at least 2008 to 2016, a period during which authorities in the U.S. Virgin Islands have said he was sexually abusing girls and young women on his island. It appeared to be part of a broader effort to build alliances across the U.S. territory, which granted his business lucrative tax breaks. He donated generously to local politicians. He even employed a governor's wife. The CBP agents in St. Thomas had the power to interfere with the luxurious, under-the-radar life Epstein had built, including his importation of young women from foreign countries. After he pleaded guilty to soliciting prostitution from a minor in 2008 and became a registered sex offender, CBP officers elsewhere sometimes pulled him aside for questioning at airports. They noted his female companions. In 2013, for example, a CBP officer at Palm Beach International Airport in Florida described intercepting Epstein, who was returning from St. Thomas. He was traveling with several young women, but of age. Epstein and his associates also appeared jittery about what customs officers might find if they showed up unannounced at Little St. James. In 2016, an employee alerted him that CBP officers were circling the island. She instructed a colleague, hide everything until further notice. It wasn't clear what she meant. By the time of his 2008 incarceration, Epstein already had a friendly relationship with at least one CBP officer. The emails show that officer, Carol Montgomery, repeatedly sought his advice and financial assistance, including a $200,000 loan after she transferred to a mainland office. It is unclear from the emails whether he provided her with money, or if she was part of the federal investigation. Welcome home, Jeff, Ms. Montgomery wrote on the day he was released from jail in 2009. Later, working in Washington State, she invited him to visit and said she had read a bunch of foolishness about him in the media. Keep your chin up. I care a lot for you, she wrote. In June 2010, as his house arrest was ending, he emailed Cecile Dayun, his office manager in the Virgin Islands, and the territory's first lady. He asked who was in charge of customs, noting that an official at the St. Thomas airport had been difficult lately. She said she would look into it. 2 years later, in November 2012, Epstein planned to give a Thanksgiving turkey to each of the 78 CBP employees stationed in St. Thomas, but an agency supervisor nixed the idea, citing the ban on personal gifts. He also wanted to buy the agents new computers. He took agents on wallie-riching excursions aboard his helicopter. He invited them to his island for lunch. One officer later told investigators it was sandwiches and wine in a gazebo. Epstein hired another CBP officer to play steel drums for guests on his island. The officer waived his fee because, as an employee relayed, he considers you a friend. He performed at least twice and even offered lessons to one of Epstein's guests. Epstein appears to have struck up an especially close relationship with a customs officer named Timothy Rauch, who worked on St. Thomas as an agricultural specialist from 2009 through 2014. Mr. Rauch later described Epstein to FBI agents as a wonderful person despite his conviction, and despite the procession of Eastern European women apparently headed to Little St. James. Rauch said he turned to Epstein for financial advice, and thought he would be a good person to know if he ever decided to run for public office there. He told the FBI that he would check with Epstein to make sure he was being treated with fairness and respect by other agents, and would empathize with him if he encountered a rude customs official. Rauch, who retired in 2021, said in an interview with The Times that his relationship with Epstein was strictly professional, and he had no knowledge of the sex trafficking operation. Epstein also collected the personal contact information for other CBP officers, including James Heil, a supervisor in St. Thomas. While some inspectors would delay J.E. for a while, Heil and another friendly officer wouldn't give him a hard time, according to Epstein's pilot's lawyer. Heil was in regular communication with Epstein and his aides, even helping troubleshoot inconveniences with other airports. He later said he interacted with Epstein in his official capacity as a professionalism service manager. By the time Epstein died in a Manhattan jail in August 2019, Rauch transferred to South Carolina and feared that his relationship with Epstein could come back to haunt him. On the 30th of August 2019, Rauch walked into his supervisor's office, shut the door, and appeared shaken. He said a female acquaintance had filed complaints with the Justice Department, alleging that while in St. Thomas, he had assisted Epstein in conducting human trafficking of underage females. When asked how she would know, Rauch said, "Everyone knew I was friends with Jeffrey Epstein." After the meeting, the supervisor alerted higher-ups that Rauch palled around with Mr. Epstein, clearing his aircraft and spending personal time with the convict, after befriending him through carrying out official duty. By October 2019, the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General had opened investigations. In May 2020, a federal grand jury subpoenaed financial information about Mr. Rauch. Later, Similar subpoenas were issued for Hyle and two other officers. Google also responded to a subpoena for Rauch's information. In November 2020, FBI agents and a federal prosecutor interviewed Epstein's pilot, Larry Vysotsky. He recalled that a couple of CBP officers had been friendly with Epstein, sometimes flying in his helicopters, occasionally requesting after-hire service for his plane. Vysotsky said he had no knowledge of any officer assisting in trafficking underage passengers. About 5 months later, in April 2021, agents interviewed Rauch. He said he was aware of Epstein's conviction involving the abuse of minors, but supported Epstein because he was a good guy. He thought it was smart to maintain contact because of Epstein's wealth, influence, and status. Rauch said he often boasted about his connection to Epstein. Even after his death, it was an ego boost. The FBI summary noted not everyone can say they know a billionaire. Deborah Kamian contributed reporting. Julie Tate contributed research. David Inrich is a deputy investigations editor for The Times. Steve Eder has been an investigative reporter for The Times for more than a decade.